If you would turn to Proverbs 11:24 this morning, Proverbs 11:24. I'm going to dedicate this lesson to Mike Donahoe this morning. This is an agricultural lesson. Mike, of course, is the county agent for, is it Santa Rosa County, or do you go into it, you just Santa Rosa County? Mike's the agent for Santa Rosa County. If you ever want to know anything about corn prices, peanut prices, things like that, you can get him in the corner and pick his brain. But this is an agricultural lesson, an agricultural proverb, important proverb to us as Christians. And it reads this way: there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Meditate upon that proverb. Scattering, increasing, withholdeth poverty. Those words fit together. Now, at a place in Chicago called the Chicago Board of Trade, there is a market there called the commodities market, where commodities are bought and sold. Now, commodities, you use commodities all the time at home, but they're in a packaged form, they're in a processed form, but commodities are products in their raw state. And commodity markets have their roots in the trading of agricultural products such as corn, wheat, oats, soybeans, cattle, and pigs, along with many other products. Are you still with me? Okay. This market is where prices for these raw materials are established. People bid on these raw materials. They're sent all over the world. And this is where the price is established. Now, in the case of corn, wheat, soybeans, and oats, among other products of the raw materials, the unit of measure is still the bushel. Isn't it nice to keep those old units of measure? Still the bushel. And the bushel is the customary unit of dry volume. And how many of you knew that one bushel equals 4 pecks? Has anyone ever seen a peck? I love you. A bushel and a peck. A bushel and a peck and a hug around the neck. And a barrel and a heap. And I'm talking in my sleep about you. So that's the peck. But it's also equal to 8 gallons. So you can kind of, you know, your gallon of milk in the refrigerator, you picture 8 gallons of those, and that's a bushel. So that kind of gives you a better feel for that. Or 35 liters. So if you go down and get a liter of Coke, 35 of those bottles equals one bushel. Now, depending upon the moisture content, I'm getting deep here, so you have to stay with me. One bushel of corn is 56 pounds. Is that about right? I got to check over here. If he wasn't here, I could just tell you anything. But when I was trying to find these things, I thought of Mike. I said, I got to get the accurate statistics. Because Mike is going to say boo or some nasty comment. But a bushel of corn is 56 pounds. One bushel of wheat or one bushel of soybeans weighs 60 pounds. And one bushel of oats is only 32 pounds. You don't do much about oats here. 32 pounds. So you can kind of get a picture of the weights of things. And current prices for a bushel of corn. Now, when you say this, you have to kind of speak like they do on the commodity market reports. You say, corn is $6.52. Bushel of wheat is $6.59. Soybeans went for $13.11. And a bushel of oats is $3.26. So you can see the prices of these commodities vary. Soybeans are a valuable crop, but they don't bear as much as corn. Now, crop yields vary greatly from place to place. I think in Idaho, the top corn production You would think that it would be Iowa, but the top corn production per acre is in Idaho, but not the top corn production in total. The top corn production in total is in Iowa. And then Illinois has a great amount of corn. And I think, was it Indiana? I don't know. But anyway, crop yields vary from place to place, but on an average, it takes about 1/4 bushel of corn to plant an acre. 1/4 bushel of corn to plant an acre. Does that sound pretty close? Okay. Now, it varies. You know, it depends on how the soil is and so on. Now, if the acre yields 125 bushels per acre, that means one bushel of corn, of seed corn, will yield 500 bushels. Think about that. One bushel of corn will yield 500 bushels. So there's a return for your seed corn of 500 to 1. Well, what an investment that is. So if you invest one bushel, a bushel that you can see, a bushel that you can touch, a bushel that you can smell and feel, pick them up, and you can taste them. If you invest one bushel, God gives you 500 bushels. But the catch here is you have to wait for them, or you'll get them later. He doesn't say, put them in the ground and you'll have 500 bushels today. He doesn't say that. It takes faith to invest one bushel of seed corn that you can see in hopes of getting many bushels of corn that at the time of investment you cannot see. What a lesson there is in that. Now, as far as wheat is concerned, the ratio is 66 to 1. With soybeans, it is about 40 to 1. So the rate of return on these products per acre changes by the product. It's only 40 to 1 with soybeans, and oats, it's only 25 to 1. But some ground grows corn and some ground grows oats best, so that's why you have the different products. But in this short study of commodities, it is easy to see that God is very, very generous in his return on investment. See, there's a lesson here about God's return on investment. Now, have you ever heard of man's investments with such a high rate of return? You know, invest one bushel of seed into the ground, enough to plant 4 acres, and he will return 500 bushels. Now, that's tremendous. You know, go down to the bank and invest a dollar and ask them for a $500 return. Well, they would say, go back to Mars. You know, where are you from? You invest a dollar at today's rates and you get a penny for the whole year. One penny. Now, when I was a boy, the rates were about 3%. But in those days, these were competitive rates. In today's rates, they're all controlled. See, somebody in Washington, the Fed, is saying, you only get a penny. So they're squeezing investment like that. But that's the rates that man gives. But at God's rates, if God's rates were in vogue, you'd get $500 for $1 investment. Now, God declares in his word that his returns are the highest that you can get, yet we so often choose the bank's return. You know, we're kind of cockeyed in our thinking, are we not? Well, I'll go down to the bank and invest $100, and at the end of the year, I'll get a dollar. Well, God says, invest in my business, invest in my bank, and the returns are great. Now, God gives his all. And think about what greater gift does God give than his son, Jesus Christ? And how do you access this gift? Well, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. How simple is that? How simple is repenting of your sins? You know, you can get into God's bank in such a simple way. And he opens the vault door and he says, go on in, help yourself. You know, so there's no greater gift than God gives to us than his son. And then because of this, we're provided the treasures of heaven, the glories of heaven, and a dwelling place there. You ladies, have you ever thought about how you're going to decorate your dwelling place in heaven? I can't imagine God not allowing the ladies to decorate the dwelling place in heaven. Now, there's one thing about ladies. When they go into a room, their head goes spinning. How can I improve this room? How can I make the nest more comfortable? Women are nest builders. So, and God made them that way. So I'm assuming that he's going to give you the right to hang some pictures and do some work in there, you know? But no mortgage. There's going to be no mortgage on the dwelling place in heaven. No real estate deeds, brother. Huh?
No lawyers.
Well, I know there's going to be lawyers in heaven. Former lawyers. But no mortgage, no maintenance. There's going to be no paint peeling on the house, and there's going to be no foreclosures in heaven. The foreclosure angel is banned. He's not going to knock on your door and say, you haven't paid your mortgage, you're out of here. The elevator, they'll take the elevator down. Not going to say that. But in all of this, God has a purpose for delay. You don't get it right away. Just like when you plant the corn, you don't get the bushels right away. He has a purpose for delay from receiving these treasures, and that is to fulfill God's desire to scatter. God has told us to scatter the good news of his son throughout the world, declaring that the value of a soul is greater than the value of the whole world. You see how God's economy is so different than the economy of the world. We think the world is so valuable. We invest our money in the world. But God declares that one soul is more valuable than the world. And yet most men, most women choose investments that bring little return, if any, but investments according to God's economy always bring the greatest return. That's the message of the scriptures. You know, this is a book on economy. This is a book on God's economy. You know, we invest, last January, we turned in a card that said, this is my investment in our missionaries who scatter the gospel seed. And every individual under their ministry that sprouts life brings greater return than the whole world. You've really invested in something important, haven't you? You know, what kind of return is going to take place on that money? God says to invest your treasures in heaven where moth nor rust doth not corrupt. Why is that? Why should we do that? Well, according to how we see God operate in the scriptures, it seems the returns are much more than we can imagine. See, it takes faith to believe that. Now, the returns are great. God gives you 500 to 1 with corn. What's he going to give you in heaven? Think about that. In nature, the investment of a farmer in nature, you take a pecan, a little pecan or pecan, however you say it. You put it in the ground. For years, it produces similar nuts. One nut. What kind of return is on that tree. So God gives great returns, but it takes believing God in order to invest in this manner. You know, it's so easy to seek out investment counselors from the world, but in seeking first the kingdom of God, the first investment counselor should be in God Himself, and His Word is full of such counsel. Now, so our investments, make sure that if you desire to seek ye first the kingdom of God, then make sure that your investments are in that equation. So our proverb for today is about scattering. There is a scattering that brings increase, and there is a scattering that brings decrease. That's the gist of the proverb. But God tells us which scattering does what. He tells us that if we scatter things His way, He will take it as He takes a bushel of corn and bring increase. You know, who brings the increase when the seed is planted? The farmer plants the seed. Now, does this farmer bring increase? No, he's at the mercy of God. You know, that's quite a vocation to be at, the mercy of God. That's a good place to be. But he plants that seed in the ground, and now he says, oh, Lord, send some rain. Lord, send some sun. At the mercy of God. But if we choose to scatter it our way, you can count on decrease, the Bible says. You scatter it my way, there's increase. If you scatter it your way, there's decrease. God is the husbandman, and He is the one who guarantees increase. Now, God gives you a finite amount of bushels with which to live. How many bushels do you have in your bank account? How many bushels do you have in your purse? How many bushels do you have in your wallet? God gives each one of us finite amounts of bushels with which to live. Now, it is up to you to determine how much of the seed of the bushel you will invest by putting it into God's hands that He might give increase. See, we plant, we water, but God gives the increase. See the equation here, the economical equation here? Who's all involved? Well, you're involved by planting and watering, but God is involved by bringing the increase. What if you exclude God? Who's going to bring the increase? Nobody. There's going to be a decrease. We put it into God's hands that He might increase, or how much of the seed of the bushel you will consume on yourself. Now, that's, God knows you have to eat some of the bushel. It takes faith to be a farmer and to scatter perfectly good seed upon the ground, perfectly good seed that can be consumed or made into things that will satisfy your hunger. You know, you may have a bushel of corn and you say, well, you know, I could make corn. Cornbread today, but you won't have any corn on the cob later on, will you? I could eat cornbread today, or I could invest the corn and I could have corn on the cob later. Cornbread today takes sight, but corn on the cob down the road takes faith. Now, most people of the world take their bushels and cast none or little to the ground in order for God to bring forth fruit. That's the general nature of the people of the world. They take the corn, they take the bushels, and consume it upon their own lusts, the Bible says. You know, many people fit into the category of stingy. Are you stingy? You know, whatsoever you do will be done to you. God says, you know, you're stingy. I'm going to be stingy to you. What do you think of that? Oh, God wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, He would. Yes, He would. Some people are miserly or tight-fisted, ungenerous, greedy. How's this one? Penny pinching. Have you got a penny in your pocket that you can't see Lincoln's face on? Have you been pinching it so much? Poor old Lincoln, he's saying, I got to get out of here. Getting squeezed to death. Or skimpy. Now, Christians ought not to be thought of with those words. You know, if someone's called you miserly or tight-fisted or penny-pinching, boy, you ought to go down on your knees to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to be generous. Help me to be thought of differently. But you know, many people of the world scatter their substance by extravagance and indulgence. You've heard of many people who have inherited great sums, and at the end of their lives, their sums amount to nothing. Isn't that sad? They have scattered it on ground which could not bring forth. They're like the prodigal son who took his inheritance from his loving father and in a far country wasted his substance with riotous living. What did he have to show for it? Gambled it away, drank it away, spent it on friends of like character, lost everything he had. It was like the prodigal son. They waste it. But the loving father, he had a loving father, which we know in the scriptures, and there was a happy ending to the story. But that loving father is a God, and he pictures himself in the scriptures as a wealthy landowner with many stewards, each of whom he has entrusted with a part of his wealth. That's the picture that we're given in the scriptures of how we interact in this economy of God. He conducts his operation within a certain economy, which means a way of supervision and management of the possessions of a household. You have an economy in your household. Some people have little envelopes that they divide up their money. This is my budget. These are my budget envelopes. I've got one for the mortgage. I've got one for the utility bills. I've got one for the clothes. I've got one for the food. That's fine. But that's your economy. Now, we live in two economies. The world has one, and God the husbandman has the other economy. Now, we're comfortable living in the world's economy, for it is constructed according to the natural man. But God's economy is constructed according to the new man that has been born of God's Spirit. You know, a lot of things happen when you're born again, when you're born in the Spirit. A lot of things happen. Your economy is supposed to change. God's economy is for you to carry out His purposes on earth. Now you're a steward. You're not only a child of God, but you're a steward of God. But the world's economy is for you to carry out your purposes on earth. Both economies are economies of scattering. They're both economies of scattering. You know, the people in Washington want you to spend. They want you to scatter your money around. If you scatter your money instead of hoarding it under the mattress, it's good for others. But you feel better when it's under the mattress, don't you? But both economies are economies of scattering. So it is what is scattered that clearly divides the two. Now, we live in the age where God's economy is about the scattering of the good news of His Son. That's our economy that we live in. God's economy is about telling everyone about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. Paul knew when he wrote this in Ephesians 3:8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Well, you say, well, I'm not a preacher. Yeah, but you can help preachers. I'm not a missionary. Well, you can help missionaries. You can be a missionary in your neighborhood, is what he's saying here. So we see that the world always has trouble with its economy. We're in one of those periods now where the world is reeling. Don't you kind of feel the reeling of the world economy? Everybody's kind of sucking on their thumbs, you know, like a baby. I hope this goes away. But it's having its trouble with its economy. The body of Christ is having trouble with its economy. The church is misguided so many times in the economy that they use to carry out the Word of God. And it's because Christians don't know the Scriptures, and they don't know the difference between God's economy and the world's economy. Mix it all up. You have these economic preachers on television that they want their economy to improve at your expense. But not God's economy, but they want you to send in money for this useless prayer cloth. I mean, if you want to buy a prayer cloth, I'll sell you one half price. I got some at home. But they mix it all up. But God's economy will bless you, and the world's economy will curse you. There's the difference. One will give, the other will take. One lives for God, the other lives for self. God's economy is about life, scattering, sowing and reaping, giving and receiving. The world's economy is about greed and power, selfishness, pride, and accumulation. God's economy is such that it brought you to a place whereby you are counted as a steward in God's vineyard. That's our job description. You ever put that down on your job resume? I'm a steward in God's vineyard. Boy, that'd shake them up, wouldn't it? Steward in God's vineyard. Yeah, I'm just going to work for you so I can be a steward in God's vineyard. But you know, God could have taken you to heaven when you were born again, but that's not the mission of a steward, to go to heaven. The job's not done. God's economy is about being used of God and carrying out His purpose. We're to be field hands scattering seed with hopes of great crops to come. That's what we are. We're simply field hands scattering the seed. So how do you use that seed? How do you scatter that seed? Perhaps you'll say this, I worked for this seed. I earned it. And it is mine to do with as I please. A good bit of the world says that. Why should I not use it for my benefit and for my family's benefit? That's one position. I mean, I got this seed by my own efforts. Another person may say, okay, I acknowledge that the tithe is the Lord's. I will dip into my bushel. First of all, I'll determine exactly how many seeds I have in the bushel, and then I'll determine how many one-tenth of that amount is, and I'll give that to the Lord for Him to use, for Him to distribute in a way that is up to Him. That's another position. I'll do my duty to the 10%, but with the rest I will do with what I want to do. So that's two positions. Now the third person says, you know, I didn't make this seed. God gave me this seed. And this third person yields to the knowledge that everything that he has belongs to God, not only the tithe, but all the rest belongs to God. I'm a steward of all that I have. I'm simply a steward of His grace, and I must do my best with what He has given me to oversee. You know, David had this mind in him, for he said in a prayer of dedication in 1 Chronicles 29:14, but who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sword? It had to do with the dedication of the temple. For all things come of thee, and of thine own have I given thee. Isn't that what happens with a steward? We're simply giving back to God what He's given us. The person who kept the whole bushel for himself saw himself as the owner who is in control. The tithe giver still claims to be the owner and in control, but he may share only out of duty. I know I'm supposed to do this. I've got to do this. It calms my conscience. I'm going to do it. I've got to do it. This is what I'm going to do. The one who knows that the whole bushel came from God knows God is the owner, and as the owner has the right to control. The one who knows that the whole bushel is God knows that where his treasure is, that is where his heart will be also. The one who knows that the whole bushel is God lives completely by faith, knowing God will supply all his needs from his unending riches, which will be given to him in Christ Jesus. So you have the three characters here. One who thinks he controls everything, one who gives a little bit out of duty, and then the third character says, everything that I have comes from God. It's his, and it's his to use. But God has kept you here to scatter in his direction. If you are saved, your purpose is to be a steward of all that God has given you. That's our purpose. Now, if you choose to ignore this and adopt the world's economy of serving yourself with that which God has given you, you're a thief and a robber. You're not performing the function that God has kept you here for. You know, you might as well go to heaven. But our obligation is to be a steward. You know, when you serve yourself, all can be taken away from you. But when you serve God as a steward, God is in charge of all with which you are entrusted. You know, one thing that I've learned in my working career is that good stewards are always given additional duties because they bring a profit to the owner. You know, that's verified by Christ. Remember the talents that he gave away? And the one that buried it under the tree, useless steward, he didn't bring any increase. He took it from him and gave it to the one that brought the increase. So from an economical standpoint, it kind of makes sense to invest in the Lord, doesn't it? You know, you hate to get on such a monetary level, but good grief, where you think about how where you're going to put your investments. But when you're faithful in little things, God is free to entrust you with more to scatter to accomplish his purposes. I mean, if you're an employer and you have an employee that brings in twice the profits of this other person, who are you going to entrust more with? The one that brings in less profits? That's kind of silly, isn't it? You're going to give it to the one that brings in greater profits. But think of your day's work. Where does your mind go each day? Is it busy about the owner's work? When you recognize God as the owner, you then are a faithful steward in relationship to him, and you see God's priorities as your priorities. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the first priority, isn't it, according to the scriptures? The first priority of my life is to seek the kingdom of God. Well, you also, when you're doing that, you learn about the economy of this kingdom, how to operate in this economy. As a farmer is in the field scattering seed for a harvest, that is how I am to conduct my stewardship. That is how you are to conduct your stewardship. For only by scattering for God can there be an increase. You know, what's going to last of your investments? Only that which is scattered for God. That's what the Bible says. As Christians, we are called to trust in God, not in Wall Street. I don't want to trust in Wall Street. You know, the Dow went over 13,000. Boy, that's good. I got to put all my money in the Dow. No, not according to what I am. I'm a steward of God's money or God's corn. As Christians, we are called to scatter for God, not to scatter for financial powers of this world. We're not to worry about the world's economy falling apart. God's economy never falls apart. You know, God's economy never has a recession. No depressions in God's economy. It's always good. You know, we're not to worry about things like this. That's the arrangement that takes place in any army. Soldiers do not worry from where their next meal comes from. Soldiers do not concern themselves with what to wear. You know, how does this look today? How does this uniform look today on me? Well, that's the same one you wore yesterday and the day before. Yeah, but how does it look to me on today? They don't worry about that. They don't say, well, I wonder where I'm going to get my next meal. They don't worry about that. They don't concern themselves with the roof over their head. Well, today we've got to sleep in the tent. Well, that's fine. That's what soldiers do. You know, in God's economy, we are to see ourselves as part of the family of God. And as a family looks out for its own, so God has predestinated us this way. You know, you look out for your family, don't you? You see to it that there's food on the table, a roof over heads. You see to it that the children are dressed with proper clothes. But Ephesians 1:5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. And Jesus tells us that the key to God's economy is to give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. That's the economy of God. You know, just as the corn seeds yield so many bushels, if given up to the soil, will you be given many bushels that you may be provisioned to scatter more and more and more? A farmer doesn't finish with one season of crops. He's given crops so that he can plant again next season. You know, corn seed left in the barn is of no use to anyone. Is that true, Mike? You leave the corn seed in the barn, what good is it? You know, if you hoard, does corn seed ever turn into rotten seed? Eventually. Lasts a long time. God gives you probably several seasons to plant, or one season, one or two seasons. You know, he may say, well, you're sick this year. I'll give you the corn seed, it'll last 2 years. So you got 2 years to put it in. But it takes a quarter bushel to yield 125 bushels. Some farmer says, well, I'm going to try to put only an eighth of a bushel in. Well, what's he going to get? He might get 60 bushels. So he's stingy with his seed. He doesn't scatter his seed in the right way. But every farmer knows that in order to have a great harvest, he has to take the seed out of the bag and generously scatter it to the soil. He's not to be stingy or miserly with the seed. He's to act in faith, for that's how God's economy is constructed. You're supposed to live by faith. That's how God orders things. That's his economy. But God is a giver. God is a scatterer, and he wants to give through his children, and we're to be channels for this venture. You know, we can either be hindrances in the pipeline of God's giving, or we can be pipelines that constantly has to be filled with Drano to break up the clot. You know, we can be hindrances to God's scattering, or we can enter into God's scattering and be part of his economy. There is a scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. You know, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Father, thank you so much for giving us this wonderful lesson on scattering. Help us, Lord, to be known as scattering. Help us not to be stingy or miserly or tight-fisted or penny-pinching, but help us to be faithful stewards of that which you've given to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.